We've been taking a few weeks talking a little bit about the book of Proverbs and the themes. Tonight's theme is a good name. A good name. We may spend a couple weeks on this particular topic. And once again, if you need a worksheet, would you hold your hand high again? And once again, we'll do our best to get it. We've got several folks right down here. Thank you, James, for stepping up and helping with that. Very well. Got several folks right here in this front. Mike, you want to go right this direction? There's some over on this side right there, unless you passed it down. Very good. Thank you very much. I know that we made a few of those, and if you got those, that's fine. If you didn't get them, I think if you have your Bible, maybe a piece of paper, you can learn some principles that we see here tonight. Thank you for being here. It's wonderful to see you. Proverbs chapter number 22. There we go. Got some right back here. Anybody really, you want one, didn't get one yet, hold your hand up. We'll try to help you with that real quickly. If not, let's just be seated, and we'll go where we are and go with what we have. Everybody read verse number 1 with me. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. Can you read it with me, everyone? A good name is rather to be chosen in loving favor. There are many themes in the book of Proverbs, and we've talked about them, a little bit about morality, and we've talked some about that. Money is certainly all through the book of Proverbs. Favor is what we're going to talk about tonight. But there are two things that you and I need desperately if we're going to negotiate life effectively. And Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, he knew that. And that is a good reputation and people leaning your way. Favor. A good name and favor. Now, your name means something to people who know you. When your name is spoken, people say on time, late. That's what they think. Diligent. Cuts corners. Faithful, maybe not so much. Frugal, or loosey-goose with their finances. Values people, values possessions. Everybody, you're in the process of building your name. And you have a reputation. I have a reputation. On any particular topic, people who know me and who know you are going to come to some sort of conclusion about your reputation and favor. And favor is basically giving someone leaning your way or giving you help or wanting to help you. And in life, it's so much better if you have a good reputation and then you have obtained the favor of God and others. And Solomon says in this passage of Scripture, Proverbs 22 down to verse number 16 are really just wise statements about wisdom. Verse number 17 on begins to talk about imperatives. He'll just say, do this, do this, do this. You'll see a little bit of a transition through chapter 24. But getting a good name, keeping a good name, obtaining favor of the Lord. You know, whenever Mary was chosen to carry the Christ child, the angel said to her, you are highly what? Favor. He said, God has leaned your way and he's got something for you. And all of us want that. I want it. You want it. Life is much better. And Solomon understood that as he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God included his pithy sayings in the scriptures and laid it out for us. He knew to his son, he said, son, you've got to work on a good name. Now, if you don't have that hot of a name right now, that can be overcome. Jabez is a great example of that. Jabez, his name meant sorry. Could you imagine if your mother named you sorry? Sorrow, heartbreak, that was your name? Because when she had him, she was going through some kind of valley and she cast that valley and that sorrow onto her name of her son. But the Bible says that he was more honorable than his other brethren. And primarily because he went to God. And he said, Lord, would you bless me indeed? Would you help me overcome my name, my persona, my reputation with the plight of life I've been given? Would you enlarge my coast? Would you make sure you hold my hand through life, provide your presence for me? And then keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. And the Lord answered Jabez's prayer, and God blessed him. And he'll bless you. God is a great heavenly father, and I don't know much about being a good father. I feel sorry for my kids sometimes, but I will tell you, I don't know 9 kids that their dad doesn't love them deeply. and my wife loves them, and we want the best for them. And I'm just an earthly father. How much more God wants to bless his kids? Often we have a negative opinion about God. And sometimes it's because we have a negative opinion about our own dad. But we can't hardly transfer that. And if our father and mother forsake us, the Lord picks us up. But we got to have a good opinion about God, and he wants to bless us. But a lot of that is based upon our response. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus, he tells the group of people there in Babylon in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts I think about you. They're good and not evil to bring you to an expected end. Because I know how I think about you. You may think I'm thinking negative. I'm not thinking negative. I'm thinking success. I'm thinking blessing. I'm thinking I want things to be good for you. The whole reason for our Bible is fourfold. It brings us salvation. It brings us success. It's profitable. It brings us maturity and knowing what to do in a given situation. But Proverbs chapter 22 is unique to me, and I shared this when I first became your pastor back 11 years ago on a couple Wednesday nights, but it really challenges me, and it's been helpful to me to read it over, think about it, because I never want to get bored with the basics. And someone said, don't be afraid to repeat the obvious. It's the obvious what many of us have forgotten. Remind us what the Bible says. But look, if you would please, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight, but what are some things that help us have a good name and attract favor of God and others? How many would say, Pastor, I would like to have the favor of God and others? Sure. If you want to go to the BMV, go where Michelle's there. She can help you with that. You want the favor of the person helping you with that. If you're going to go, you got a problem at the Apple store or the Verizon store, you want to find someone, please help me. Lean my way. Help me with this problem. And certainly we want God to help us. Well, what are some things that attract our attention? What attracts the attention? Gives us a good reputation, a good name. Matter of fact, Solomon says in his first verse, he said, if you got a good name or a pile of cash, leave the cash and walk away with a good reputation. It will far outlast the pile of cash. If you have a bunch of silver and gold over here, or you have the loving favor of God and others, leave the gold and walk away with the favor of God and others. You'll have a far more success and blessing. Well, how can I have a good name? What can I do? Well, let's look at the passage of Scripture and let's see. Verse number 2, the Bible says, verse number 2, read it with me, would you? The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord... The first thing we can do, an attribute we can have to have a good name and a good reputation and to have the favor of God and others is number one on your sheet there is be unbiased in your perspectives of people. One thing we know about God is he is not a respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, verse number 11. Now I am, and you are too. We scope out things, and if someone's like us, we'll gravitate to them. If someone's not like us, we're a little nervous about that. And it's pride. Prejudice in its root is pride. We think we're better than somebody else. And the Bible says, especially when it comes to economic situations, rich and the poor, when you have a little bit deeper pockets and you've enjoyed a little bit better things, not because of who we are, but because of God's grace. By the way, if it weren't for God's grace, you couldn't make 2 and 2 equal 4. If it were not for the grace of God, you wouldn't be able to lift a spoon and put it to your mouth. Someone would be feeding you every day. There is not a one. God is the one who gives us power to get wealth. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't know how good you can communicate, what good decisions you made. All that came from the grace of God. But somehow, when we get a little bit more than someone else gets, we get prideful. And we think we're better than somebody else. And especially in economic, but also in racial areas. You didn't pick the pigment of your skin. I didn't pick the pigment of my skin. I didn't pick my origin. I didn't pick my dad and my mom. I didn't pick where I lived and where I was born. I didn't pick the situation. My parents never owned their own home. That we moved into government housing projects and old farmhouses and different things. The thought in when I was 27, 28 years old, the thought of me owning my own house for myself was just so far out of my mind. I just never thought I would ever own my own home. My parents never did. And I just figured I would rent the rest of my life because that was how I was brought up. It was just my mindset. But you know, the truth of the matter is, God, I didn't pick how I was raised. That was something that God used them. By the way, have faith in how God made you. You don't have to be proud about who you are, but you ought to have faith in God made me this way. If you're a young man, be happy you're a young man. Don't want to be a girl. If you're a beautiful lady, be happy that God made you a lady. Well, nothing more frustrating than someone trying to be something they're not. But you can have faith in how God made you, how he's led you, and how he's prepared you. The starts and stops of life. Everything that's come into your life has been Father filtered. But if you've had a little bit better than some, by no ability of your own, make sure that that doesn't put a prideful thought inside of you. The rich and poor move together and the Lord's maker. You know, I think learning to treat people respectfully, whether they're poor and asking for change out in front of the convenience store, or they're a wealthy person that pulls up in a Maserati next to you, is love everybody and care for them and treat them right. I think it's important. And a good name and loving favor is, and by the way, everything is observed by God. The Bible says everything is, to God, everything is naked and open to him. The ways of man, how you behave yourself, how are before the eyes of the Lord, he pondereth every one of their goings. So he knows everything about me. He knows what's going on between my ears and behind my brown eyes. He knows what's going on under my gray head. He knows what's going on in your head. He knows how you feel about someone. There's somebody in this room, how they scratch your head gets on your nerves. How they walk. They owe you money. And you're going to have to figure out how to deal with those situations. Because maybe God's blessed them or God's helped them in a way. And you're not so sure how you feel about that. And I think these are some things. Number one, how we treat people. If we want the loving favor and a good reputation, we need to make sure that we're unbiased in our perspectives of others. And especially, God is very concerned of how we treat the foreigners. Now, we've got all kinds of immigration issues in our country. And everybody will have opinions about all of that. But, you know, someone who's in Chicago or someone's in our town, they need the love of Christ. And they don't need your opinions right now. What they need is you to see them as a soul that is an ever-dying soul. They happen to be in your community. And maybe they designed it. Maybe they didn't design it. I don't think probably they said, oh, when I'm gonna migrate to Hammond, Indiana, or South Chicago, or Dalton, or I'm going to migrate to Crown Point. They probably didn't even know they were going to be here. But they're there. And they're in your space. I was calling my mother this morning, and she said, I called her and she said, John, I'm taking my Iraqi four little boys and two girls and two boys, a little Iraqi family that live two doors down from me. They missed their bus this morning. They're not saved, but they called me and said, Miss Wilkerson, would you take us to school? We missed our bus. Their mother and dad leave for work at 5 a.m. in the morning, and they're up to get themselves up, and they missed their bus. He goes, it seems like it happens about once a week. But I said, you know, they need Jesus. And so I usually talk to them about Christ on the way to school and tell them a little bit about, oh, Jesus is so good. You need to know about him. I don't know if they're going to be saved or not. But, you know, I thought, I'm so proud of my mom. You know, she got over her prejudice about someone living as a migrant two doors down from her. She tries to love them, brings them over to the house and makes meals for them and encourages them. You know, there's something about that. I think God leans into people who do that. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord's the maker of them all. Look at verse number 2, would you please? Or verse 3. Read it with me if you would, please. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. Look at verse number 5. Let's read that one too. It goes right along with the same concept. Let's look at 5. Ready? Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. Okay. So he said a prudent man looks down and he sees something's going bad. He sees evil. And instead of trying to resist it, he gets away from it. He avoids it. Brother Froki is here, and he speaks on that topic with our college students from time to time. It's better to avoid temptation than try to resist it. And God says, I want to give you a compliment. That's prudence. A prudent man looks down and he says, you know what? I'm watching this movie, but clothes are coming off, and it looks like it's going to the bedroom. I'm not going to just try to resist. I'm going to turn it off. We're done with this movie. We're not going there. You hear a little cuss word early on in it, and you think, oh, well, that's not too bad. If it keeps, if you see it going, you're going to have to say, you're going to need to be prudent, or you're going to just let it keep going into your ear gate and your eye gate and contaminate you. A prudent man foreseeth evil. He's with friends and he can tell that's going a bad direction. The joke is going wrong. The idea, the language, the activity. And they say, no, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. This is where I stop. Let me out of the car. I'll walk home if I have to. A prudent man foresees evil and he hides himself. The simple pass on and they take their licks. Thorns and snare are in the way of the froward. Look, if you're walking, you're hiking, and you see a big old briar patch, and you see that, and it's a shorter way, but if you go through that, you're going to get scratched up. Well, go around it. He said, but a froward man goes right through the briar patch and comes out with all the scars and scratches of his foolishness. One of the things we can do if we're going to have a good name is you're going to have to stay out of the briar patch of sin. Sinful activities, sinful actions, sinful attitudes, sinful associates. You're going to have to, through desire, a man separates himself. So your name is very important, but you get in the briar patch of sin, and you're going to find yourself, your name is going to go down fast. You're going to go from a hero to a zero real fast, and it affects your name and your favor with God and others. Look at another passage of scripture. Would you look down the same chapter? Look at verse 24 and 25. Can we look at that real quickly, everybody? Will you read it with me? Make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare into thy soul. He said, look, you're going to have to be careful with angry people. And, you know, anger is an emotion. God has it. It's not innately sinful. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But most of our anger is upset because it steps on our toes. We're inconvenienced. We're frustrated. We're disrespected. What you said to me, how I felt when you said that, that's when we blow our top. James, in the hard-hitting passage of Scripture in James chapter 1, says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger upset doesn't say the right thing, doesn't do the right thing, doesn't respond the right way. When your anger is upset, my anger is upset, I go through the briar patch and I take my licks. I come out with the scars and the difficulties, and what is tarnished is my name and my favor. We don't want that. Look at number two, if you're writing down there, you'll have to avoid sinful and questionable attitudes, actions, and associations. Let's look at the next one, number three. If I want my name to be good and favor to be extended to me, verse number four, read it with me if you would please. By humility and the fear of the Lord are, that's a trio I'm interested in, riches, honor, and life. How many would like to live there? Sure. You'd like to have what you need. That's what rich means. You have more than you need. Most of us in this room, we are rich. We have what we need and more than we need. We have honor from those around us, and we have life, not only eternal life, but we have abundant life. Well, he said that happens to us, but there are prerequisites. Two of them, two twins that help create those triplets. And one of those is humility. The other one is the fear of the Lord. And humility is very attractive. People admire and appreciate someone who's not all about them. They're not stuck on how they think, how they feel, and what they want. They're stuck on what is best for God, what's best for others. It's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And really, prideful people are just set on doing things their way. I think sometimes people who say, well, I'm shy. No, you oftentimes, maybe you may be that way, and maybe all of us, some have more introvert and extrovert tendencies, but sometimes people are shy, but they're stubborn. And the Bible says that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness like idolatry. Sometimes you worship you. You don't put yourself out there because you treasure yourself too much. That can be a challenge sometimes. But humility is a way that we keep a good name and get loving favor by humility and the fear of the Lord. So we learned three things so far. Number one, A good name, loving favor, is extended to people who are unbiased and not prejudiced toward other people, and especially in economic areas and racial areas, I think, true. Because one thing we know about God, he is not a respecter of person. Number two, we'll avoid sinful and questionable attitudes. By the way, attitudes become actions. If you've got an attitude issue, you better deal with it, or you're gonna cross some lines going forward. If you think the rules are dumb, you're going to start breaking the rules. And then you're going to pay the piper. And you're going to lose a lot in that process. If you think your parents are dumb, the rules that I have, what they told me to do, you get those attitudes, they're going to call into actions. If you think, well, I'm not sure at church, you don't have to be at church 3 times a week. Or those are attitudes, and then you'll start missing church. It'll start with a Wednesday night, then a Sunday night, then it'll go to Sunday morning, then all of a sudden you'll find yourself sitting there watching ball games on a Sunday morning and wonder what happened. Attitudes become actions. Actions become behaviors. Behaviors become a lifestyle. You're going to avoid those. These are, once again, we're talking about two very valuable things, and that is a reputation and favor. A good name and favor, loving favor from the Lord. Let's look at number four there real quickly, if we can, please. Back to number, verse number four. Let's read it together. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. For the sake of time tonight, I feel like it would be helpful for us to look up these two verses, if you would, please. But let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Those two twins, and we have one, humility, and the fear of the Lord, come riches, honor, and life. And those are certainly benefits of these two attributes. One is humility. The other one is the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid he's going to slap me around if I do something wrong. Fearing the Lord means that I feel and I live in his presence. Okay? Once Jesus saves a person, where does the Holy Spirit reside? Inside them. Is he ever going to leave them? No. But does that person who has the Holy Spirit always live in the fear of the Lord? I don't think so. Have you ever been to a party or a gathering and you were there but you did not feel comfortable or accepted in that location? Sure. It's miserable. You just like say, you know, I think I want to go home. But the Spirit of God never can go home. You invited him to come in and he doesn't feel at home inside of us. That's on us. How do I know the fear of the Lord? How can I? By the way, there's so many benefits to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oftentimes, I've sat with people who are in wicked sin, and I've asked them one question, and amazing, they're very honest with that. I said, listen, are you a faithful tither and giver? And they say, no. And I say, you know, that's one of the things that God does to create the fear of God in us. Do you read your Bible on a regular basis, and what's God telling you? No. Because there are two things that we know that teach us the fear of the Lord. Let's look at them real quickly. I think this would be a good place for you, every one of us, to outline, to asterisk, to highlight in your Bible this evening. Let's look at Deuteronomy 17. Would you look there? Of course, Deuteronomy is it's the second law given there. It's a book of remembrance. 17, verse number 18 and 19. Let's look at it. Men, I want all of you to read it with me, would you please? 17, 18, and 19. Every man, ready? And it shall be that when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of this law in the book out of which priests and the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. This is instruction. Now, once again, God wanted his people to be a theocracy. He wanted to be their king. But he knew, as he looked down the annals of history, because God doesn't see the past, present, and future in their frames. He sees all of it at the same time. He knew that they would start looking around and seeing other countries, and they have a king, and they want a king. He says, so when you get a king, here's what you ask him to do. His first job is to sit down in front of the priests and the Levites and write out his own copy of the Bible. But especially Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I want you to write it out. So you have your own copy that has been written in front of the priests and the Levites. And I want that king to keep that copy and to read it and to meditate on it and think about it all the days of his life. Why? Did you look at the passage of Scripture, verse number 19? Can someone look at that and someone just go ahead and tell me? That he would learn what? the fear of the Lord. Look, if you would please, at chapter 31. Would you please? Deuteronomy 31. Thank you for bringing your Bible this evening. Thank you for looking at these verses. 31, verse number 12 and 13. Here, Moses is reminding the leaders, here's what you're going to do on a regular basis. Verse number 12, gather the people together. Who should you gather? Men and women and thy strangers, or people that have come from other places that were in thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn the fear of the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of the law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whether that you go over to Jordan to possess it. So this is prior to them going across the Jordan River and going to Jericho and claiming the land. He said, when you get over there, have a time where you gather everybody together. You gather the men, the women, the kids, and your strangers that are not even with you, but I want them to hear my word. Because when they hear my word, they will learn to fear the Lord. See, every Christian, that's why your pastor, that's why your Sunday school teacher, that's why anybody who loves you will tell you, read your Bible. Meditate in your Bible. Think about your Bible. Don't just come to church with it. Read it tomorrow morning. When you go home tonight, read it when you go to bed. Oftentimes I ask my children, have you read the scriptures? And they're very honest with me. Sometimes they say, yeah. Or sometimes they say, no, I haven't done it yet. So let's don't go to bed before you read it. They'll read the scriptures. I want them to read it because I want them to recognize God. That's what made God real to you anyway. You know how you got saved? Someone showed you the Bible. And it caused you to pray to a God you cannot see, to accept a Savior, Jesus, you've never seen, to avoid a hell you didn't want to go to that you've never been to or never even know about, except for the Word of God. Faith cometh by, but also the fear of the Lord cometh by hearing. And then chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, let's turn there real quickly. Chapter 14. The second way we learn the fear of the Lord is by receiving God's word, but also by returning God's tithe. Let's look at that real quickly. We're looking at chapter 14, verse 22. Let's read it together. Everybody read verse 22, can we? Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth. He said, I want you to truly tithe. That means honestly assess. What did I get? What came to me this week, on the first day of the week? Miss Linda and I have done this for years. We sit down and we evaluate, what did we get? If we got a gift card that worth $25, it's sure worth $2.50. We had someone gave us a place to stay for a little vacation, and we found out how much it cost for us to stay there, and we tithe off what was given to us. Every year I add up whatever, if someone helps me pay or my employer take care of my insurance, we tithe off our insurance premium. Find out whatever it is, whatever God gave me. And that's why you wouldn't want to put the same number every week on your tithe, because usually God gives you a little extra sometimes. He wants you to stop and realize, what did he give me? What did he give me more this week? What did he give me more about? So you don't just pay a dive off your paycheck. He says, I want you to truly tithe off the increase that your field bringeth forth year by year. But it's not the same every year. Sometimes you went to the market and you got $12,000. Sometimes you went to the market and you got $10,000. Well, whatever it is, honestly tithe off that. Now look at the next part of the passage of Scripture. We're looking at verse number 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. That's the local church today. That's where you're supposed to bring it. And bring the tithe of thy corn, thy wine, and of thy oil, and the first things of thy herds and thy flocks, wherever it is that you get income from. This is what you bring to the house of God, the place that God puts his name there. And then read the rest of the verse, verse 23, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. We see God teaches the Lord. Now you say, Pastor, I really don't care much about the fear of the Lord. You're gonna wreck your name, and you're going to hurt your favor. Because it's by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. These are things that are not negotiable. It would be a very good day that today is the first day of the rest of your life and you'll never steal from God again. That's why he says, if you don't honestly give me what belongs to me, you're stealing from me. Because God gives us everything and he says, I want you on purpose to bring back 1/10 of it. Now, most of all of you, I'm sure you do that. If you don't do it, or you're quitting doing it, or you're neglecting to do it, it will show up in your lifestyle. It'll show up in your reputation. These are things that will happen. And you want the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The seeker of the Lord is with them that fear him. There's just too many benefits. You want to do a study yourself. Find the fear of the Lord in the Bible and find out what happens when someone has it and what happens when someone doesn't fear the Lord. And you better side on the part that I'd rather have all that blessing. Because it's better to live off 90% of what God gives you and his presence on your life than to live off 100% by yourself. It's miserable. Well, I got to hustle to get done through here. Number five, go back to Proverbs 22, if you would, please. And I'll give you these things. I may spend a little more time on this than others, but we've talked about this already. But look at verse number 6. It's a very famous verse on child rearing in the Bible. Let's read it together. Train up a child in the way he should go. And every child ought to remember, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You have a lifetime responsibility to honor your parents. At the same time, parents have a responsibility to train their children. And the Bible tells you to do it betimes. Do it early on in their life. Look, if you would please, in that same passage of Scripture, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. If a mom and dad do not love their children enough to discipline them, they will eventually break their heart and embarrass them and shame them. If you want to have a good name, you might want to spend time and effort and energy investing in the training of your children. And do it from the early days on. And spend time with them. Love them. Discipline them. Care for them. Invest in them. Give them affection. Give them direction. Give them correction. Find out what God wants you to help them with and stay with it. There's many examples of that. But kids who make bad decisions hurt the name and the favor of their parents. And you'll hurt them if you do not discipline your children. So here he says, if you want to have a good name, loving favor, give effort and energy. Don't raise your kids the way you think it's good. You raise the way God thinks. They belong to him. Ask God, Lord, give me wisdom in how to help my child. And help them to obey. Early on in their life, they can learn to obey, they can learn to respect, and they can learn to do what is right. I was talking to a young parent recently. I said, emphasize the right. Tell them if they do something wrong, that was not right. What is the right thing to do? Because all through the Bible, righteousness is paramount. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is going to serve as what is right. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end of the ways of death. Even the word of God is given to us, instruction in righteousness, how to do the right thing, what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. And kids need to understand this is a priority. And when they're 1, 2, and 3 years old, they can figure that out. But moms and dads have to do it. We have to give time to that. And our last thought here tonight at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. To have a good name and obtain the favor of God and others. Verse number 7, read it with me if you would please. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower. This is one of many financial principles in the book of Proverbs, but this one has to do with debt. And debt is not in its nature sin. It's not sinful, but it really is discouraging, distressing. It is oftentimes divisive, and it can disqualify you from doing what you want to do. Debt is challenging. But here's one thing that's for sure. Debt adds additional masters to your life. Okay, if you want to buy a car on credit, okay, there's two people who own that car, you and your other master. Okay, when you say, la-da-da, charge, I'll just charge that master card. I'm the master. No, you just picked up another master. Debt creates additional masters. I don't think it's sinful to be in debt. I just think you have to exercise a lot of wisdom, because here's the principle. The rich rule over the poor. Whoever has the money makes the rules. And the poor submits to that. That's just what the Bible says. It's Solomon's wisdom. Duh. But the borrower becomes a servant to the lender. And one thing that a debt does, and it's why you want to try to live within your means. God will use money to tell you what to do and what not to do. If you don't have money, don't buy the couch yet. If you can't afford it, it's not time. Don't say, well, I mean, I'm going to get a raise. I'm sure I'm going to get a raise next month, and then now I'll be able to pay that off. That is just, that's stinking thinking. And you're going to create an additional master, more stress, more division, more disqualification, more discouragement that will come. And in marriage, oh, good night. It's hard enough to get together and be on the same page. Whenever you add debt to that situation, it creates an additional stress on that relationship. And so he's telling us, if you have a good name, by the way, get behind on your bills. And there's something called credit score. And you know what a credit score is attached to? Your name. Your name. And then when you go get something, you need some help from someone, they look at your credit score and they put that with your name and they decide if they're going to give you favor or not. So finances, how we handle finances is very, very important. And the book of Proverbs, full of it. I would encourage many of us to look at the book of Proverbs and just put a little dollar sign by every verse that has to do with money and say, Lord, what can I learn from that? How can I make a better decision on that? A good name and loving favor are very important. There's another thing real quickly, and I don't know if there's anybody here, but there's a place you want your name one day, and that's in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're here tonight, you're not sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It can be, but it has to be a time when you believe and receive Jesus as your Savior. If you're here and you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven, we'd like to talk to you about that tonight before we leave. Let's